When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, hello and welcome to the Scottish Sun podcast in association with bookmakers William Hill. I'm Robert Grieve, and with me today is Sun Sports top writer Gareth Law. Good morning, Gareth.
Morning, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Gareth. I'm very well. It's been a big week for Scottish football domestically, and obviously there's a Scotland World Cup qualifier later in the week, which we'll discuss later on. But first of all, Gareth, the big news last week was Pedro Kishina, the new Rangers manager, arriving in town. He had his week of press and training before his debut match against Hamilton Accies, a convincing 4-0 win. Yep. Great start for him, wasn't it?
Definitely. Admittedly, I don't think Hamilton put up too much of a challenge in his first game, but as first games go, I think very impressive. I've heard a lot of what he said last week. Not a lot of people in this country would have heard of him before he came to Rangers, but I think he's carried himself quite well. He's been good with the press. He's certainly talked a good game. Some little gems in his press conferences.
Well, what did you make about that? Let's start on that one first of all, because he kind of made some noises at the start of the week when he first came in, Gareth, that he's got the best squad in the country. Now, I don't think it was anything really lost in translation with that one,
no.
But can you see where he was coming from, that one? Because it's obviously quite bullish talk from him.
Well, first of all, it certainly wasn't lost in translation. His English is very, very good.
And there's no pun intended there when I said bullish, by the way. A bullfighter, Gareth. He's a bullfighter.
I got that.
Okay.
Thanks.
What did you make of it?
I thought it was the thing that all Rangers fans would have wanted to hear, but I don't agree with it. It's not the best squad in Scotland.
Do you think Rangers fans would want to hear that? Him saying that he's got the best squad in the country, is that not leaving himself a little bit wide open? Do you think Rangers fans would be encouraged by that? Sorry to pick you up on that.
No, it's fine. I think it's the kind of bullish talk, to repeat your pun, that's needed. I think there's positivity needed in that club. For all Mark Warburton said and did what he did, I just don't think he was willing to talk things up in such a way that everybody felt
galvanised by it.
Yeah, that's exactly the word I was going to use, Robert. So I think it's maybe long overdue that there's some positive talking coming from that club now. In privacy, you can't say it's the best squad in Scotland, and there's a lot of work needed doing in the summer, but you need to start talking positively to then infuse the rest of the squad with some belief that has certainly been lacking at that club, I think, this season.
What needs to be done, Gareth? Because he's coming in, he's obviously 10 games to go in the season, I think, still in the Scottish Cup, got a huge game in that next month. But what's the challenges for Pedro Kishina? What should be his realistic targets between now and the end of the season?
Well, realistic...
Can they win the Scottish Cup, for instance?
Of course they can. I mean, Rangers beat Celtic last season at the same stage.
So a very different Celtic team, though, wasn't it?
Very different Celtic team. Doesn't mean it can't be done again, though, on the day, albeit he wasn't in charge, but we saw how they played in the Old Firm game in the league. So why can't they do that again? Why can't they put up a fight? It's a one-off game. So of course they can win the Scottish Cup. I think there's certainly some stability needed in that squad, and he'll be looking to finish as high up that league as they can. From what we saw on the weekend, it all bodes well, but I don't think you can base hope or ambition on one game like that. There's going to be a lot more. Proof of the pudding will be how the next couple of games go, to see if he can get his message across. He might be helped by the fact that there's now an international break and he's got a little bit more time to assess things. Interesting to see how this idea of his of 6 days training works out. It's not really been something that has taken off, I don't think, in Scottish football, that kind of thing, when managers have come in. And
there shouldn't be anything wrong with that, should
I don't
there?
Think
I mean,
there
these
is.
Players,
no, I don't
should
think
they
there
not
is.
Be expected to work?
Yes.
Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, if they've got a game coming up. I don't think that's too much to ask for from them.
It's a privileged lifestyle they've got, and they might be working 6 days a week, but sometimes they aren't full days.
We all can't work 4 day weeks like you guys, can
no,
we?
No, I know, but when I put my shoulder to the wheel for those four,
for 4 days,
days properly,
that's,
yeah,
that's
you know,
fair enough.
If you do that, then I think you're all right, Robert. Not that I see you on many of those 4 days.
Well, you're never here, Gareth. That's why you're usually away somewhere covering some youth tournament. Anyway, I mean, we'll talk about Aberdeen in a minute, but Rangers are 8 points behind Aberdeen.
You're going to get me muddled up with Kenny Miller there, by the way, with talking about youth
Kenny
tournaments.
Who? I never see him either. But Rangers are 8 points behind second place Aberdeen. That's obviously the challenge that they've got in the league, whether they can catch Derek McInnes' side. Do you think that will happen? Do you see that happening? They've got two games against Aberdeen to come, which will obviously be massive.
I must admit, I like the look of this Aberdeen team, so I don't think they'll catch them, but that'll be as much down to the quality of the Aberdeen squad and team and Derek McInnes' management in general, as opposed to what happens at Rangers. Aberdeen on a roll right now, can see them finishing second again this season.
Well, just to touch on that, they had a fantastic 2-0 win over Hearts at the weekend at Pittodrie. A fantastic result for them. I mean, I think they beat Hearts quite convincingly at Tynecastle the last time they meet, so they'd probably be expecting that result. But it's a big win for Aberdeen, that, isn't it? Because maybe a lot of people would think they might have slipped up.
Yeah, it was a big win, and obviously there was the consequence of if they had slipped up and what that would have done for Celtic and the league being wrapped up too. So there was maybe a little bit of pressure perhaps to keep that going for another week. But yeah, I mean, you look at the likes of, you know, Kenny McLean, Graham Shinney right now, unlucky not to be in that Scotland squad, which we might be talking about
again. Yeah, we'll come to that, Gareth, we'll come to that.
But I think you've got some top players playing at the top of their game right now in the Aberdeen team, and that's why I don't think Rangers will catch them.
What about Derek McInnes? What can you say about the job he's done? I know you're a big fan of McInnes, the job that he's done at Aberdeen. What can you say about that, Gareth? Because nowhere near the budget of Rangers, and yet they're leading the way for the second place. You can't argue with it, can you?
No, I mean, you look at everything he's done in that club, the way he's built that club up, the kind of, there's a, I don't know if you want to call it an arrogance about the club.
About McInnes?
About everybody at the club, in the sense that there's that arrogance you need as a winner, and they believe they should be winning every week. Whatever game they go into, they think they can get the 3 points so they can get through to the next round. He's delivered a trophy there. He's lost players, but his recruitment has been very, very impressive as well. You don't see too many failures if you look back at the guys he's brought in. So, again, a second place finish again. Derek McInnes deserves massive credit for what he's done there.
I think it has to be said as well, Tony Docherty, his assistant there, does a massive job for Aberdeen, which I don't think should be underestimated.
No.
And for me, Aberdeen are pretty lucky to have Derek McInnes. I think he's a manager who has done fantastically well there. And for me, he could have another move in him. I know he didn't do particularly well in England down in Bristol, but would you agree with that, Gareth? Do you think there will be clubs looking at him in the summer potentially, and maybe Derek McInnes could be on the move?
I thought Rangers should have made a move for him, and they should have moved heaven and earth to get him. He was the right decision in so many aspects. Now, whether that came down to finance, I don't know, or why they didn't go to him. I know Aberdeen were put a big price tag on his head. Derek McGregor, I think, had the story in Sun Sport when Rangers were looking for a new manager.
So
maybe they were put off by that, but for me he ticked so many boxes. There's almost like this, there's a confidence about what he does there now that nobody argues with what he does, but that's because there's no reason to argue with it. He's, as I said, his recruitment's good, tactics are good, my management seem good, his preparation seems good, appears to leave no stone unturned. So in answer to your original question, I think there's definitely another move in Derek McInnes, and probably sooner than later. If he finishes second again this season, they're still in the Scottish Cup as well. You know, how much further can he take that club? And I think that might be another reason why he would then maybe look elsewhere too.
And by all accounts, I don't think Derek McInnes had a director of football coming into his dressing room at half time on Saturday. Now, that's one of the talking points of the weekend, Gareth. Now, yeah, I know Roger Hannah is forever trying to give you help and advice, slipping you notes on how to do your job better on a match day and even in the office. But what do you make of the Cathro situation? Ian Cathro getting huge help there from Craig Levein. Listen, we all know that. That was the way it worked under Robbie Nielsen. It's still the way it's working. People are undecided on whether they think this is a good thing or a bad thing. Where do you stand on it?
Well, at least Roger gives me good advice, first of all, and, like, you know, some other folk.
I'm not here to babysit you, Gareth.
Did I name names?
I'm not here to babysit
did
you.
I name names?
You need to start growing out yourself, come on. You've been here long enough.
I don't see it as a bad thing, what happened on the weekend. I see it as something, again, that British football isn't accustomed to or hasn't been accustomed to over the years, but I don't think you can shun advice. I don't think...
Is it half time in a listen, I can see where you're coming from with this, Gareth, but should a manager be getting half time advice from anyone, or should he not be the voice that the players are listening to? Is that not the issue? Because for me, that's the issue. I think if you're a Hearts player right now and you're at half time, you get in, you're a goal or two down to Aberdeen, and you're getting maybe mixed messages, shouldn't Cathro be the voice in that dressing room at half time?
Two things. I mean, you said maybe mixed messages. We don't know if they were mixed messages, first of all, and secondly, if the manager is comfortable with that, which
Does it not show a weakness in him though, Gareth?
Why, maybe it shows a strength that he's willing to take advice on board. If he's comfortable with that, and certainly publicly he's saying he is, I've got no reason to doubt what he's saying in public either, based on his previous comments and his previous job roles experience. So if he's comfortable with that, why not take it? Doesn't mean he has to take on board or listen or act on what he's being told. He can still make his own decisions. So I realise why there's been this interest in it, and quite rightly so. It's a great story from our point of view as well.
But not only that, Gareth, it's a big story because Hearts are not doing well. Craig Levein, a guy I've got a lot of respect for,
yep,
when he was a Scotland manager, a huge amount of respect for, is a guy who knows the game inside out. Clearly he does. But the problem is Hearts are not winning.
No.
They've nosedived since Ian Cathro's coming into the club. They were second under Robbie Neilson. Now I think they are sitting in fifth place. It's nowhere near good enough. And I think that's the issue for Hearts. It's not working. This plan of what they're doing and what they're carrying out isn't working.
But then why not? What's the problem with then turning to a Craig Levein for...
But that's the way they have been doing it, and it's not working.
Well,
Shouldn't they just let Ian Cathro go on with the job, and maybe that'll improve things?
Have we seen notes being passed down like this before?
Absolutely we have.
Yeah, but we don't know to what extent, in what games, how much of an influence he's had in certain games.
He's not sending him a note asking him what he wants for his dinner that night.
No, it's not
a note with the Chinese takeaway request. He's telling him how he changed the tactics.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that he was asking about the Chinese for the weekend, but I just think that there's enough. You can never have too much advice. So it's up to, maybe he's had notes being passed down. Maybe he's had notes being passed down. And
you're clutching at this, Gareth. Come on. What do you think of it?
He's had notes being passed down, and he's decided not to act on them. Ian Cathro is the manager. Perhaps he's ignored Craig Levein's advice or detail.
Do you honestly think that's what's happening?
At times, yes.
You think he's ignoring the director of football's advice?
At times, I think he's made his own decisions.
Well, if that is the case, power to Ian Cathro, because I think he should be making the decisions. If it was me, if I was the manager of Hearts, I would want to be the guy that's making the decisions. I would want to be the guy who was a voice before and at half time and after games. For me, Craig Levein has no right in that Hearts dressing room during the 90 minutes of a match, and I think Ian Cathro should be left to stand on his own 2 feet. He could be a master tactician. He could be the guy. He should be the guy speaking to those players.
And
for me, Craig Levein should stay out of it. Do you agree with that?
I think Ian Cathro came up here. People looked at his age and his experience, and they thought he would be a yes man. I think people questioned his man management. I think we all did, quite, because it was an unknown. But I don't think he's a person who will be messed with behind the scenes.
Well, if I was a Hearts player, I think I would be the question I would be asking is who's in charge of this team, because it strikes me it's not Ian Cathro, with the best will in the world to him. It comes across that Craig Levein is the guy who's in charge, and Ian Cathro should be given more power, as far as I'm concerned.
So
Gareth,
can I ask you one question?
You've had your opinion, Gareth. You've had your opinion. We've handed you a note. It's time now to talk about Celtic. What did you make of their win at Dens Park on Sunday? They could have won the league if Aberdeen had slipped up against Hearts, which they obviously didn't, as we've touched on. But another hugely impressive performance by Celtic, who continue to romp to the title.
Did Roger hand you a note to ask that question? Or?
No, he didn't, Gareth.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
But if he had, would you have acted on it?
No.
You wouldn't have.
No.
So you'd have made your own decision based on what Roger Hanna...
Yes.
Yeah, so Ian Cathro might have done the same.
No.
Anyway,
you're clutching at things here. Talk to me about Celtic.
Celtic, I thought it was another, you know, typical Celtic performance, in the sense of, you know, they just keep grinding out the results. Stuart Armstrong again, scored again. And what struck me about him this weekend was he's never the tallest guy on the pitch, but he seems to have this real presence about him now. You know, when he's on that park, you know, when he broke into the box and scored that header, you watch the replays, he's just got, there's something about him, there's an aura about him now, I think, which he never used to have. And again, we're gonna talk about this later, but I think he's got a start against Canada on Wednesday night. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a nervy end. I think Celtic maybe made it a bit more harder for themselves than it might have been with that late goal. But yeah, another 3 points, and I think there's just one win away now from wrapping it up themselves.
I think huge credit to Dundee for making a game of it.
Yep.
I think you have to give Paul Hartley a lot of credit for the way he set about his team. But as you say, Gareth, Celtic are pretty much relentless now, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I said back, I think in January, I thought they'd go unbeaten all season, and I can't see them slipping up. The only place they may slip up is if Brendan Rodgers decides to give a couple of the star men a bit of a break, a bit like I think Ronnie Dyla did, maybe Neil Lennon did possibly towards the end of the season, ready to, so they were ready for the Champions League qualifiers the next season. But they just seem relentless, and I think the first game after the international break we'll see them crowned champions again.
Well, we now turn attention to Scotland. A huge week for Gordon Strachan and the lads against Slovenia next Sunday at Hampden Park. First of all, Gareth, our boys, not your boys, because you're Welsh, and I don't know quite why I'm asking you this, because it's nothing really to do with you, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, a huge week for Scotland. How do you see it? I'm loath to ask you, Gareth, because it's got nothing to do with you. But come on, Welshman, what do you think?
Why has it got nothing to do with me?
Because you're Welsh.
And?
It's a week for Scotland. Uh-huh. Come on, talk to me. What do you think of Scotland? Where are we going wrong, and what should we be doing better? Tell me, Gareth.
What were you doing on July the 5th last year?
What was it? Gareth, what? I don't know.
I think you were covering Wales against Portugal.
That's because it was a major tournament. Uh-huh. Another place where you had no right to be. So talk to me. Never mind that. Talk to me about Scotland.
I think that answers everything. So I'll move on. I think the campaign, unfortunately, is done for Scotland. I think
it's done.
I think it's too far to claw things back now with the games that are in front of them. I think all the damage has been done already. As much as I would like to see different.
But you don't really care, really, do you?
Why don't I care?
I repeat, because you're Welsh.
This has been my home for 15 years, Robert.
15 years. Anyway, yeah. How does Scotland go about beating Slovenia?
I think Gordon Strachan, albeit he's maybe picked, he's had the odd strange selection in this campaign, I do like the look of his squad. I do like the look of the guys who he's brought in, and I think they should be given their chance now. I think Stuart Armstrong should start. Tom Kenny, Ryan Fraser need to be involved. I think it's about now. I mean, we mentioned Wales, but Wales did that several years ago, blooding the youngsters and looking at it as a long-term project. The way Scotland have done things in recent years hasn't worked, so why not try something like that now? Why not get the youngsters in and start blooding them and look at 4 years, 8 years down the line?
The problem, of course, Gareth, is that Wales are a one-man team. We do not have a superstar to rely on. Wales do. When you're talking about the guys for this Canada game, should these, your John McGinns, Stuart Armstrongs, should they be thinking about the Slovenia game to realistically start that match? Would you give them a good chance of being involved in the crucial qualifier?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're more than likely going to have a run out on Wednesday night first, but why not go with them? Because you look at how things have gone so far in the campaign and it's not worked out. I think, as I said there, I think you've just got to, you know, look towards the future now. The one issue, of course, is, well, one of the issues is in defence, I think, and Gordon Strachan can't exactly go and buy a new defender, or that's always going to be the problem right now. There's with the likes of John Suter injured and players like this not available, I don't think there's much scope for Gordon Strachan to make too many changes there, unfortunately. So he's got to work with what he's got there right now.
Well, my glass is always half full with Scotland. I think, obviously, it's a massive game against Slovenia. We have to win it. There's no doubt about that. And if we do win it, we go into the England game in June, and who knows? So I refuse to give up, Gareth, where Scotland is concerned, albeit I do think we have to win. With Gordon Strachan, would you agree that if they do not win on Sunday, he will go, and rightly so?
More than likely. Again, the only thing is that would then start the questioning as to who replaces him. There aren't many candidates out there, and possibly if there had been the last time, you know, he may have gone then, but there are no obvious candidates out there for me. But it's going to be very, very hard for him to stay in position if they lose this weekend when you look at the run they've been on.
Again, you've got a huge knowledge in international football. How do you rate Slovenia? Should Scotland be beating Slovenia?
I don't think necessarily they should.
It's going to be a tough game, yeah?
I don't think they should turn up there expecting to. I mean, I think that's been the problem in the past with fans, with journalists. With, you know, I think we've all sort of turned up expecting victories against teams that aren't that well known here. And I think numerous occasions these teams have been underestimated. I think it's going to be a tough game on Sunday.
Well, time will tell. Gareth Law just said the word "we" when talking about Scotland, which I do not like whatsoever. But anyway, that's been the Scottish Sun podcast. Be quiet, Gareth. I'm about to hand Gareth Law a bit of paper, tell him it's milk and two sugars for the tea run. Myself, Robert Greave, thanks very much for listening to today's podcast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
In association with William Hill.